Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton. Three women, one podcast, and a whole load of badass. This week, we meet Cosmopolitan Editor-in-Chief Farah Storr, who explains why we all need to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable. And we meet the two young actors from the National Youth Theatre who are changing the face of theatre. 1, 2, 3, 4! Do you like to hang out in your comfort zone? I mean, I definitely do on a Sunday, but most of the time I like a bit of a stretch. Our next guest thinks we all need to leave it and get a little bit discomfortable. Is the word I'm going to use because the book's called The Discomfort Zone. Welcome, Farah Storr, Editor-in-Chief of Cosmopolitan.
Thank you. I like that new word.
Discomfortable. Discomfortable. The Discomfort Zone. What is The Discomfort Zone?
Well, The Discomfort Zone is, and you know, it's different for everyone, but it's that moment when you step out of what you feel is comfortable and doable, actually. So it's when you push yourself into a metaphoric state, I suppose, that you didn't think you were able to manage to do. And you can do it every hour. You can do it once in your lifetime. You can do it once a week. But it's different for everyone. But I think the thing is, it's vital that people do it.
Why is it vital?
Because comfort is not our natural state. I mean, if you stay in a state of comfort, you stagnate. You know, I know lots of people who they kind of wake up and they get to their kind of 40s and 50s and they go, how come that person's over there and I'm still here? And it's like, well, do you know what? They push themselves through the hard stuff. And that's what ultimately made the difference.
I think, so is it, I'm sensing discomfort in some cases is more about the big things, because as you're talking, I was like, but should I, if I'm in bed and I'm nice and I'm warm and I'm cozy and my friends are saying, but you must come out because there's nothing going on at home, there are no men on your sofa, does that mean should I be going out and leaving my comfort zone of my blanket?
I've sent you a text
and my
like that before.
Yeah, you have. Because my position is, no, I don't want to.
No, I don't think so. I think this is much more, I mean, it is literal and metaphorical. I think if you're cosy under your cashmere blanket on a Sunday, and I need to do way more of that. This is about big life changes. So, you know, look, it could be on the small kind of scale of it. It's, you know, you're comfortable with what you're doing with your health, but you need to push yourself. But it's more, and the book is very much about those big changes. So life changes, mainly career, but it could be relationships. It's those big challenging things that actually, you know, most of us can manage to get out of the duvets. Your discomfort zone that I'm talking about is the one which actually we hesitate to step into.
And over your career, you've probably had quite a few of those to become editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan. What are some of your big discomfortable moments?
My discomfortable moments? Well, do you know what? I mean, I was saying to someone the other day, most of my life, when I look back on the successes I've had in my life, all the major ones have been because I've gone through periods of discomfort. And so, look, you know, the first two editorships I did, well, the only editorships I did, the first one was Women's Health. It was basically a startup. It was very specific, challenging conditions, tiny, tiny, minuscule team, tiny budget, had to sell a certain amount of copies from the very first issue. Very challenging.
You launched it, right?
Yeah, I launched it at a time of kind of cataclysm for print, really. Nobody had ever heard of the magazine. So there was a massive kind of sort of Damocles over me, which was like, is this going to be worth it? Because I gave up a really well-paid four-day-a-week job. I just moved back from Australia. I just got a mortgage. And here I was being offered... Being offered the editorship of something which actually might not work. It was very difficult. And then Cosmopolitan was different again. In fact, it was the opposite. It was a big heritage brand with lots of expectation. It had had lots of success, but it had to go through a period of change. So both of those, you know, touch wood, have been successful. But throughout my life, you know, it's been like that.
Farah, how do people distinguish between the discomfort that is going to move you forward in your life? And like you say, you know, your career has grown on those uncomfortable moments and things that they shouldn't be doing. Because I just feel like this modern day, when we're much more talking about our mental health, the word anxiety comes up all the time. And, you know, I grew up without the word anxiety. Mm. And I just knew that I felt scared about presenting, for instance. Right. But I knew that I had to keep being uncomfortable until presenting became comfortable. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I can do that now. But I've met people who've gone, I'm no good at presenting because whenever I do it, it makes me feel really anxious.
Right. And I think that's the thing. And that's the moment in culture where we are in society at the moment, where anxiety is through the roof. We know this. I mean, you know, most of my readers, not all of them, but most of them are millennials or iGen. Anxiety is huge. But there is debate, and I am not the expert on this, but there is debate about, you know, you expose yourself, and we know exposure therapy works. You expose yourself to the very things that frighten you, but you do it under a controlled measure. You don't throw yourself into something. You don't throw yourself in front of, you know, 20,000 people and go, I've got to learn how to public speak. You know, that whole phrase of being thrown into the deep end. I don't quite believe in that, but I do believe in that things don't necessarily get less scary, but you become braver by gradually exposing yourself to them. And I think that, you know, I think culturally, I guess this is what worries me the most, is that I think at the moment I worry that we're going through a moment when people go, if you feel scared, if your heart's racing, remove yourself from the situation. And actually, you know, we know physiologically excitement and fear, they manifest the same ways in the body, but culturally we are told, don't worry, don't do that. And I'm not sure personally that that's the right message.
No, me and too. Is that something you picked up from the athletes that you speak to in the book? Because you interview athletes and entrepreneurs, and I'm guessing you ask them about those moments when they do the assessment. Is this excitement? Is it fear? Is it stress? And actually, can I turn this and use it for a positive?
Please? Yeah, I mean, athletes are brilliant at this because obviously they have so much coaching and they spend their life, examining their body and what their body is going through and before a race. Because, you know, you have nanoseconds, literally nanoseconds. You know, we've all done this saying, you know, I mean, God, I used to hate acting, but I would go onto the stage. I was in something called Manchester Youth Theatre. I was terrible. I was fully aware I was dreadful. But you know, you have that moment where you have nanoseconds to decide whether are the kind of physical manifestations that I'm feeling, is it because I'm scared or is it because I feel challenged and excited? And you've got to make the decision really quickly, because if you don't, you will be overwhelmed by fear. And then, of course, we all know the thing about stage fright, where you are literally, you cannot think, your thinking is clouded, you cannot move. And so that's the thing that athletes are brilliant on, is the mental switch. And it really is a mental switch of telling yourself, I feel completely invigorated by this. Your whole body changes, your lungs expand, your blood flows quicker through your body, and your mental process becomes sharper and smarter. So anybody can do it, but I think you're absolutely right. Athletes in particular, entrepreneurs, I think, just do it intuitively. Athletes understand because they have learned the process.
How did you learn the process?
Lots of reading, you know what I mean? It's like, and I remember actually, I met, it was another journalist actually years ago when I was talking about public speaking and I didn't love it, talking about, well, you know, feeling scared and feeling excited, it is kind of similar and you just have to tell yourself. And I was like, God, that's not true. And then obviously the more I looked into it, because I had to do public speaking as I kind of got closer and closer to being an editor, it was quite clear that this was part of the gig now. And so I remember looking into it, and the more I looked into it, the more it became very clear. And probably why I wrote the book, because I became quite obsessed with, if it's as easy as simply telling yourself, then why doesn't everybody do it? But, you know, it goes back to what I'm saying about culturally. I think we are told, if you feel scared, step away from the edge. Don't jump.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Time for our Badass of the Week. Emma had her first win last week on a
first
high.
First of many, actually, Harriet.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if you can hang on to your crown for this
confident.
Week. Feeling confident. Who would like to go first?
Okay,
Natalie,
first.
Go first.
Well, so I'm going first with this Badass of the Week because I'm going to keep plugging her until you give her some
is
respect.
It Rihanna
yes.
again?
It's Rihanna because, right.
I think we've got to have a rule. Look, it can't be Rihanna.
No, right. Okay. I think Rihanna's going to be one of those people that it's only when, God forbid, in lots of years' time, people realise just how much of an activist and humanitarian she actually is. And so anyway, Rihanna was reportedly the number one choice to perform at the NFL Super Bowl, which is the big performance ahead of the final game of the NFL season. And she turned it down because she wanted to show her support for Colin Kaepernick, who has been who is the NFL quarterback that kneels during the US national anthem in to show his support for all of the young black men and women that have been either gunned down in the US or treated appallingly through various problems in the system. And I just think, you know, this, the NFL is the holy grail of any artist performance. Michael Jackson's done it, Madonna's done it, Janet Jackson, Beyonce, you know, all big names have done it. So for her to say, do you know what, if she was the number one choice, no, because I don't agree with who you are, NFL, and I don't agree with the way that you're penalizing other players, because they are now fining players that also continue to kneel, and Colin himself has been shut out of the league. I just think, yeah, this is the power of what artists and people can do, and it shines a spotlight on things that we forget to talk about sometimes, the fact that there are huge injustices going on all over the world, and sometimes it takes an artist who has the power of millions behind them to just say, do you know what, no, especially when it can be a moment that propels their career into an even bigger plane. So she's my Badass of the Week, like it
or not.
Do
you know what, generally I don't have a lot of time for the Rihanna line, but this week, yeah, that's a strong contender this week, I feel, Nat. Strong contender.
Yeah, I think it is strong. I would just like to say that I think nowadays, 10, 20 years ago, the NFL was a big deal because of how many eyeballs were on it. It was the most watched thing, and that's why everybody wanted to be on it. And I think now Rihanna doesn't need to be on the NFL. So I feel like there is an activism there, but I feel like it's
in
less
the US,
of a...
it is the Super Bowl. it's still a huge
it's the biggest thing biggest sporting event of the year.
Exactly. It's one of the biggest platforms you can have in terms of people watching.
I'm just trying
TV.
To take the edge off her badassery so that
stop
she
she's badass.
Emma, just name your badass of the week and make her better. That's all you gotta do.
My badass of the week is Stella McCartney, because I don't know if you saw her video, her advert that she created, which was all about breast cancer awareness, and it had Idris Elba narrating, talking over. I don't know if it was quite poetic what he was saying, but the cinematography, if that's the right word, was amazing. They had all different women and men showing different relationships, showing scars, showing mastectomies. It was filmed beautifully with Idris Elba talking over it, and it was just the copy, the script. It was just a really beautiful piece of work.
I haven't seen it. I'm presuming it's an advert for the Stella McCartney brand.
Yeah, so she brings out these sort of adverts for her, like, you know, spring, fall. But I don't know why she'd done one particularly for breast cancer. Her mum died mm-hmm. of breast cancer, mm-hmm. didn't yeah. she? But this piece of, it is a piece of art. And I've got to say, I've never seen so much. I just thought it was so beautiful. It was beautiful because of the diversity of people in it, of also the fact that there were breast cancer survivors in there. That, like, they zoomed in on people's scars, on people's mastectomies, and they were just sat there really sort of regal. And then to have Idris Elba, who's such like a masculine man, talking about, you know, the journey that these breast cancer survivors go through, it was a really beautiful piece of work. Game-changing piece of work, and I don't know why it hasn't become I want to see it on, I think it was on mainstream TV, but I've mainly only seen it on social. But I just thought, amazing that Stella McCartney has put out such a beautiful piece of content that I think changes the conversation and changes the way that we see and view breast cancer and survivors of breast cancer.
Potentially. Now, what do you think? Strong contender?
I hear you, but as I was listening to you, what popped into my mind was also Stella McCartney charging lots of money for mm-hmm. the culturally appropriate.
Yeah, I did think about that. Actually, that was before. Yeah, there was a bit of me that wondered.
I love that.
I'm just
like throwing that out there to just.
Did she come back on that though? She did come back on that. No,
she didn't really. But it completely. In terms of the message, and with you being a creative, I know how amazing it must look. And the message is definitely, definitely important. Cannot take that away from her.
Okay, well, mine is, very quickly, Sally Hughes, mm-hmm. the journalist. So I absolutely, I love her writing.
Has she not been your badass before?
No. Okay. No, I love her writing. And about a year or so ago now, she set up something called the Beauty Banks, mm-hmm. where she gathered and then donated beauty products to food banks and women's refuges. And she and her friend just set it up, just the two of them. They got thousands and thousands of products sent, and they said, we want the practical stuff. We want sanitary pads, we want shower gel, we want shampoo, but we also want the stuff that you love but you're not able to afford. So we want the moisturizer, the spot cream if you're a girl with acne who's going to school and feeling terrible about it. We want this little stuff. What would we call them? Micro luxuries. That's what you call them now, mm-hmm. isn't it? The micro luxuries, because just because you're in poverty does not mean that you should have to go without. So she did that, which was incredible. And then this week she wrote a really incredible article about being somebody who is estranged from a parent, and the difficulties that brings up in life, particularly kind of in this time of year when people are asking you, what are you doing for Christmas? And, you know, which parent are you seeing? All this type of thing. And she wrote this really beautiful article about it. And lots of people responded to her on social media and said, thank you so much for writing it. I really appreciate it. I'm in that situation too. And as a journalist, that happens. You know, you get people say, loved it. And you go, thank you very much. And then you move on to the next article. But Sally Hughes actually went, do you know what, this is not okay. And she set up a closed Facebook group for people that are in a position where they are estranged from a parent. And the Facebook group is there to support you, to provide space to talk, to provide a space for you to meet and just share your stories with other people that are going through something similar. And for that, I was like, do you know what I love about her? She is a woman who talks about what's going on, is honest about it, and then takes action. She took some action to help other people. And she doesn't gain anything from it. She doesn't make anything from it. It's not really, you know, doing anything for her career. She just saw people need this and I'm going to do it. And for that, she is my badass of the week.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it?
So, quick results. Who are we voting for? I've got to go Rihanna and Nat, I'm afraid, Ems.
I think I have to go with Sally Hughes. I'm not sure I love Rihanna. She's been badass of the week a lot. And I think you're right, Harriet. For somebody to do something, it's not talking about estranged parents doesn't do anything in terms of her like career alignment. Yep. That is a proper like, oh, hang on, there's a thing here. I can set up this thing and this will. And I think that's pretty badass because, yeah.
Nat, you got the deciding vote again. Who are you going for?
What is it? One Rihanna, one Sally Hughes? Stella didn't get a look in.
Stella doesn't, so far has not got a look in.
Oh, but it's not fair because I can't vote for myself.
No.
So I have to vote for you.
Well, you could vote for Stella and then we'd be in a standoff.
And then what happens?
I don't know.
I'm going to vote for Stella if I want to vote for Rihanna.
That was a red rag to a bull.
Okay, well, we'll go to a producer decision and we'll let our producer decide.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
The National Youth Theatre has been London's gift to theatre, I think. Many, many, many years ago, I auditioned to be in it. I was not good enough. No, they wouldn't let me in. I know.
Didn't know that.
I mean, I was not a great actor, so it was probably a good decision on their behalf. But it feeds and builds some of our greatest actors. And we've got a couple of the current cast in the studio with us now. We've got Alice Bielan-Kulu and Osluka Obi. They are the stars of the latest production, Victoria's Knickers. Guys, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello. Luca, give us an overview. What is the play about?
Well, the story follows Queen Victoria just before she ascends the throne. And it's kind of like an untold story about a forbidden love she had. Now, I play the character Albert, or Prince Albert, who historically there's a lot of stuff that's documented about our relationship. But there was a guy called Boy Jones who broke into Buckingham Palace and would steal the Queen's underwear.
It's true.
And what we've done is we've made that into a really amazing musical and fantastical story for you guys.
I mean, that's amazing.
It's a treat, isn't it?
Alice, how did they find out about this story?
How did they find out? I mean, there's not that many articles about it, but there's a few stories about him breaking in quite early on. She was quite young when that happened. There's a book on Boy Jones about it as well. But it's so special that we get to tell this story so many more people get to find out about it.
It's weird because a lot of things historically about Queen Victoria, about, you know, about the figures in her life that, you know, we glorify, like myself, or the character I play.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to do a story about almost a forgotten person in her time.
And play such a big part, well, especially in our production. Yeah.
Alice, who are you playing?
I'm playing Queen Victoria.
Amazing.
I know.
So I have to ask, if you are two black actors playing two white characters, what has the response been to that?
It's been great. I think the way that NYT and the company, ourselves, how we've gone about it, it's not really been, it hasn't dictated how we tell this love story. It's just about two people who fall in love, two people who aren't meant to socially really go about it. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also there's artistic merit and value in having historical figures played by people of different races, of different genders, different cultures, because it educates the audiences that are watching, you know, these shows. The main theme of the play is love, and really love is like universal. So, you know, we've eradicated all the differences by having a cast that reflects now.
And the truth of it,
Victorian times.
The side of it, it's theatre. It is performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so realistically, you are watching a performance, and all of the things that people assume or make up ideas around why they matter don't, because you are just watching a love story.
Exactly.
And watching it unfold. And I've never heard of Queen Victoria's knickers being stolen. I'm guessing they were stolen while she was Princess Victoria. You play a young Princess Victoria into Queen Victoria.
Into Queen Victoria, and then later on in the play, it's the time scale. It goes over many years as well. So the core of the play is while she's just about to be coronated, and then how she goes about and how she leads the country,
and the many obstacles that she faces personally and equally in terms of how to lead the country as a young girl.
So Queen Victoria was a bit of a player from what I'm realizing.
Oh, just, you know.
She was. She is.
Okay, I'm realising this as time goes on. Yeah,
it's quite nice to have more than one person interested in you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good
girl. I mean, she had a lot of children, so she was clear.
Nine to be exact.
One of them was actually called Alice, which I don't know if it's a sign. I don't know. But yeah.
Meant to be.
How much prep goes into putting on a performance? Like, when do you start... like preparing, how do you learn? Tell us a bit about that for any of our listeners who are like curious about becoming actors.
Well, for us personally, we're a part of an amazing program called NYT Rep, which is based on a traditional rep model created by the artistic.
What's a rep model?
Basically where actors or an ensemble of actors would get together and they will rehearse more
multiple
than
plays,
two or three plays and then showcase those plays simultaneously or in conjunction.
Oh, wow. So you've got to learn three things.
So, yeah, we're currently working with three different plays.
And that's training, is it, for your acting career?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so important,
So we, along with Victoria's Knickers, we've got a play called Consensual, which is about teacher-pupil relationships. And we've got Macbeth. And interestingly, our Macbeth is played by a woman.
Yeah, which is great.
Wow.
So yeah, we're juggling with those as well, which is amazing. So we've rehearsed. We've had 3 weeks each, and now we're
Weeks for three plays.
Oh no, three weeks each.
I was about to say that's superhuman.
So you learn them simultaneously, and then you will perhaps do one for 3 weeks, and then you'll do the next one for 3 weeks. And then...
So it's similar. So for example, with so we started off with Consensual. So we would learn the script for that. We'll do our character development and research for that, and then we move on to the other two. So equally have the same amount of time for each play. But it's more about juggling how to keep those characters for those plays separate. And it's just like the experience is amazing because you get to learn different crafts from everyone else in the company. And it's just great.
It's great. And there's 16 of us. And what's really, really cool is, and something we'll probably never get to do it again in our lives.
Oh, no, for sure, yeah.
Because we are the genesis of our careers is we all have very different characters in each play. So it's really fun watching... someone play a witch in Macbeth and then play
a school child
in Consensual.
Do you think there's a resurgence of people going to the theatre? I saw Misty last Friday, amazing. Which just totally blew my mind. It's exceptional. If anyone is wondering what I'm talking about, check out Misty. It's at the Trafalgar Studios, a brilliant piece of theatre. Mm. But it was full. And I remember seeing articles a few years ago where people say, theatre's dying, no one's going to the theatre, all of these houses are going to close down. Mm-hmm. And actually, it seems like theatre land is thriving. Walking down Waterloo, Old Vic, Young Vic, National Theatre, it's all thriving.
Yeah.
I think, whenever people say, theatre's dying, I think saying stuff like that is so redundant because theatre is part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. Since the dawn of time, there's been men and women standing in front of other men and women telling stories. And that's what theatre is. And I think we're part of a really exciting time now where, appreciation for storytelling and the difference of different stories that we're telling and people of different races and different genders playing different historical figures, giving different interpretations. Yeah, it's on the up. I don't think it's dying at all.
Especially the platform that we've been given with the rep company as well, with us having a female Macbeth and us playing historical characters. I think we're going in a really good place. It's really reassuring.
Oh, you just make me want to give it all up and run away to the castle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll let you in.
This happens.
Look,
they're very young for my age.
I know, every time. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
People want to find out more, if they want to come see it, where should they be looking?
They can look on either the Soho Theatre website, which will have details of Consensual and Victoria's Knickers, or if they go on nyt.org.uk, they'll see all the info.
Yeah. We start on Monday, so it's really exciting. We've got one day to get all the excitement out.
If you've got kids, do send them to the NYT website. It's the most incredible experience. Thank you so much for coming in. Go and see it. It's coming out on Monday, Victoria's Knickers. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been Badass Women's Hour's Best Bits. If you liked it, please do rate, review and subscribe us. We love that. 5 stars. Or come chat to us on social media. You can find us at Badass Women's Hour, HR at Badass Women's Hour, or come talk to us individually. I'm at Harriet Minter.
At Emma Sexton.
And
at Nat D. Campbell.
And we'll be here again next week, same time, same place.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.